Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. I'm your host, John Peters, and joined by Kyle McKelvey. This week, we're breaking down all of the action, including Tennessee's sweep of Ole Miss, and we're looking ahead to week 7 in college baseball. Let's talk college baseball. Welcoming a sniffly Kyle to the podcast.
I'll do my best to mute myself when I have to sneeze or sniffle or something, but apologies if I forget one.
Yeah, we're blaming this apparently on the dentist. Dentist gave you something, or maybe it's just pollen.
Maybe it's, yeah, I have been sneezing a lot. I think the change in seasons definitely has something to do with it, but I'm hoping it's a temporary thing.
Yeah, I feel like this is always the time of year in college baseball where we can normally start getting a little bit more regular. Like, you're having fewer cold weather cancellations, unless you're Notre Dame, who's just boycotting baseball right now, apparently.
That was wild.
Three games canceled this week. But I went to a game outside in like a regular old ballpark in Boston this weekend. So that was exciting. Like, it's warm enough even in New England. I caught the beatdown that was Louisville at Boston College, and man, Louisville can hit the ball. That is my takeaway from that.
Yeah. I also went to a game this week. I went to A&M at Rice.
Oh, that was
here in Houston.
That was a good one for the Aggies, wasn't it? Before a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, that was a really good offensive series. I was a dummy who forgot to bring a jacket, so we had to leave in like the fourth or fifth inning because it was like actually kind of cold for Houston. Really windy, and I just didn't bring a jacket because I was like, it's Houston. And so but Rice came back in the fourth, I want to say, and scored 6 runs to tie it at 8 in the fourth inning. And after that, we were like, all right, it was like a 2-hour, 4-inning game, so I was like, that's enough.
Yeah, definitely hope you had the over on that one.
Yeah.
So let's run through. We have a new top 50, and I feel like for the first time in a few weeks, we have a pretty easy number one. Tennessee is number one after sweeping Ole Miss. Arkansas slips to 2, but they still had a good weekend. Florida State, number 3, Miami, 4, Texas Tech, 5. 6 through 10 is Virginia, Oregon State, Oklahoma State, Louisville, and Texas. I like the fact that we've kept the OSUs next to each other in the poll for several weeks.
I think I've seen people comment on that. They're like, you just keep those right next to each other. That's great. And yeah. I think we flipped the order this time.
We did flip them. You weren't completely compelled by Oklahoma State's performance against Kansas. They did drop a game.
Sweep Kansas.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like oftentimes I'm an advocate of the idea that, you know, it's about winning series, and winning series is important. But sometimes, like, it is good to sweep certain teams, though. I feel like most of the times in major conferences, it's not the case. It's probably especially true in mid-majors, where if you're a mid-major and you're ranked, it's difficult to move up the rankings or even stay ranked sometimes. If you're just winning weekends 2 out of 3, it doesn't really give you much margin of error. But Oregon State went on the road, won a series at Cal. So Beavers moved up a spot, and the OSUs swapped places.
And this is one of those that I think a lot of teams in the top 5, maybe like 3 through or 2 through 7, 8 right now, don't feel like they belong there. Like, I saw a lot of comments from Florida State and Miami fans that are like, we're not top 3 or we're not number 3, but that's just kind of, they're both really good teams, and they've played a good series, a good schedule so far, and they've done well against it. So, like, I don't know.
I think that's the thing for me, is that both of them are like top 20 in strength of schedule. I think Florida State is top 10 in strength of schedule right now.
It helps that they started ACC play for sure.
But. Yeah, and they've done well with their schedule. I mean, Miami just swept North Carolina, and this starts segueing into the discussion of last week's pick'em. So let's say before we get there, let's throw it out there. I had a bad week for the pick'em. Mm-hmm. You had a really solid week. I got a lot wrong. I got this one right though. So let's talk about this one. We don't have to talk about the other ones.
Okay.
Miami, I think let's finish that first thought. Miami and Florida State have both done well against pretty tough schedules. Miami over the weekend did just sweep North Carolina. I watched game 3 of that, and that was a fun one to watch. The game went 14 innings, and ultimately Miami walked off North Carolina 3-2. Fun fact about that one, there wasn't a single extra base hit in that whole game. So they managed to go 14 innings with only singles.
I'm assuming some walks and some sacrifice flies and stuff like that. It has to be, right?
And like even in the 14th, there was like an infield like swinging bunt basically that moved a guy up, and like there was just a lot of just like
a small
ball not leaving the infield, and like yeah, like the game winning hit was because they had the infield in and it just was like a ground ball that snuck through the infield. And yeah, it was like maybe the opposite of what happened either in Lubbock or in Oxford with the long balls.
That is Ron Washington's dream.
Yeah,
small ball.
Yeah, Ron Washington, former Texas Ranger manager,
yes.
Oakland A's coach.
Is he currently the coach for there?
I think he's moved on from there.
Oh, okay.
But what? Yes. Yeah, the small ball days of the Texas Rangers. So let's run through a couple more of these series that I think were pretty interesting. And let's talk about Texas and Texas Tech. You were pretty darn confident Texas Tech was going to win this series. I thought you made some interesting picks. This one I was a little on the fence about, but what made you so confident about Texas Tech going into this weekend?
Yeah, so this, I think I made this point last week. Texas themselves was coming off of three weeks in a row, I think, of five total games. So two midweeks and then a series, two midweeks and a series. And then it culminated in this road series at Tech.
And so you're saying that they were gassed?
Yeah, I'm saying that they could have just been tired, and like they also did like play really well this week at Lubbock, which is hard to do. Like I think on Saturday it was a walk-off grand slam that did it in the 10th, but I think they almost doubled Tech's hits.
Yeah,
in that game,
20 something hits in that game.
Yeah, so like they did play well, just maybe their bullpen is maybe not as vaunted as their starting pitching.
Bullpen. I'm buying into this theory that maybe their bullpen's been used a little bit too much, because the bullpen gave a lot of runs. Tristan Stevens had a really bad start for them, didn't get record an out in game two. So that's obviously going to tax your bullpen. But I kind of buy into this theory a little bit that if you're playing five games a week consistently, you know, eventually it might catch up to you, which I know their schedule kind of cools off as they head into the Big 12 play.
Yeah, and then how about Kurt Wilson back-to-back walk-offs?
Yeah, walk-off steal. That right-handed pitcher Aaron Nixon on the mound somehow never even sees the guy run home. Then next day, grand slam.
It was the best in that the steal of home, though, because you could see it coming from the second base, because the bases were loaded, right? So there was the Tech player on second just stuck his hands up in celebration. Like Kurt Wilson was like halfway to home at that point. He's like, we got this. This is fine.
Yeah. I tweeted about it and said like, oh, have you ever seen this before? Like minutes later, someone was like, Louisville did this 6 years ago or 8 years ago or something, and provided a video from like the original tweet that Louisville tweeted out. So it's cool. Not like it's never happened before, but it is a pretty special occurrence.
Yeah. It's still fun.
Yeah, and then Texas salvage that series. They actually run ruled Tech in game three. So it was a 7-inning game. Texas won 12-1. What should we take away from that series? We had Steve Parkhurst write up a piece for us, and he's still convinced that the Big 12 runs through Austin, that Texas still is the favorite in the Big 12. I'm not opposed to that theory. I feel like there are three teams there that are now much, much more tightly packed together than maybe we thought at the beginning of the season: Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Texas. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I mean, there's a plus one here to Texas Tech for winning the series.
Yeah.
Last year, though, Texas did lose to Texas Tech in the series and made it to Omaha. So, I mean, losing to Texas Tech is not season ending for Texas by any means.
No, that's true. Yeah, and then I think Texas also gets Oklahoma State at home, which will help their chances there too. If it comes down to like one game here and there, if Texas can go 3-3 in those series, and they help themselves by salvaging that Sunday, then that would be super beneficial, because the rest of their schedule looks pretty easy.
Yeah, rule number one: don't get swept. That's the big part. Which, let's segue that into one of our biggest SEC series of the weekends, Tennessee at Ole Miss.
Ooh.
Man, I did not see that coming. Obviously, yeah. I picked Ole Miss to win that series. It wasn't a super confident pick, but they came the opposite. They did the opposite of coming close to ever winning that series. Got totally demolished in games one and two. Game three was a little bit closer, one-run game, but Tennessee still won it. There was a lot of trash talk leading up to that series, or a lot of speculation about whether Tennessee's offense could travel. And answer, yes, they can.
Yeah, I think I saw Mike Rooney took a lot of crap on Twitter this week for saying that Tennessee's offense is really good because it only plays well in that small ballpark they have. And he took his lumps and he was like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. It's hard to believe that this offense can do what they did. And then after the game Friday, I believe, one of the Ole Miss relievers who came in and yeah. did what he did on Friday.
Talked more crap
after a beatdown on Friday, saying that, like, oh, it's just because they have a small ballpark. We underestimated them. We won't do that again. And then Tennessee going out and won, like, also blew them out Saturday without hitting a home run. I think they were determined to win, get double digits without hitting a home run on Saturday.
Yeah, 12-1 on Friday, 10-3 on Saturday. I think with all the talk about the offense, because, I mean, they did score 26 runs on the weekend, and that's obviously a pretty good recipe for success. Tennessee's starters had a really good weekend, too. They pitched a total of 20 and two-thirds innings and only gave up 2 earned runs. And Tony Vitello was quoted as saying that Blake Tidwell was available for that Sunday game, which he's an All-American for us, and he did not end up pitching on Sunday. But that does seem to bode well that he will be making some appearances for Tennessee moving forward. If you add a preseason All-American to their pitching staff, like, it's only going to get better for Tennessee.
I wonder what they'll do there. Like, will they put him on Sunday and remove the Sunday starter? Because he was probably going to be their Friday night starter if he had started from the beginning. But I don't think you'd want to, like, mess up your rotation that much. I guess we can find out Sunday.
My instinct is that if we weren't in SEC play, they would have tried to find him a way to get midweek starts. But now that we're in SEC play, my gut is that they're going to probably be doing some bullpens maybe with him, maybe bring him out of the bullpen on a midweek game and then have him available on the weekend, because they just want to be able to get meaningful innings out of him. And depending on how that goes, maybe transition him to a starter role over the next few weeks. That's without quite knowing the pace of his return. I think it was some shoulder issues, if memory serves me right. So, you know, probably want to work him up a few innings. But, I mean, if he's anything close to what he can be, he's a guy you want eating up some innings on the weekend.
Absolutely, especially with Vanderbilt coming up this week.
And so Tennessee rose to number one. No surprise there. Let's run through some of these other results a little bit more quickly. UCLA at Arizona. UCLA won that series in what continues to be a bewildering Pac-12, beating each other up.
That's the ACC's job.
Yeah, I know. The Pac-12 is taking over in terms of chaos at the top. Normally it's a little bit more top-heavy, which maybe that's what this is pointing to, is that they're a little bit more balanced throughout the Pac-12. Southern Miss did take care of business at Western Kentucky. They had a perfect week and are getting closer to cracking the top 25 once again. Maryland at Dallas Baptist turned out to be a really interesting series at Dallas Baptist. Ended up winning that series. Georgia Tech at NC State. NC State, I think they and South Carolina maybe are up there for the most oscillating teams in the country with what team you actually end up getting. I mean, they've both been swept multiple times and they both have some pretty big series wins of their own.
Sounds right.
Note on South Carolina, I found a comment online saying that South Carolina has 2 5-game losing streaks this year and 2 series wins over top 5 teams. So that's a pretty fun stat.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
So not part of the pick 'em, but South Carolina did knock off Vanderbilt, proving that it is difficult to win road conference series for sure. I want to touch base now on a few other notable results from the past week. We talked about Kurt Wilson's two walk-offs of Texas, pretty ridiculous. Maybe, yeah, let's say more ridiculous than that, Josh Hatcher for Kennesaw State hit for the cycle, not once, but twice this past week.
Ooh.
Yeah, have yourself a day. So two cycles for Josh Hatcher. I feel like that's just one of like a lot. There were a lot of ridiculous offensive performances this week. We're kind of hitting that point in the season when pitchers are no longer have quite that head start that they did.
Yeah, another one, I don't know if you saw this, but Yale catcher Jake Geffrey, I don't know, Gary, maybe, he hit four home runs against Princeton, and two of them were grand slams. So talk about, I think it was 11 RBIs maybe. Yeah, 11 RBIs. Set a Ivy League record for number of home runs in a game, which is pretty crazy.
And perhaps maybe the most ridiculous of all these in terms of team performance, Campbell knocked off Presbyterian by a score of 36-3 yesterday. So I don't know if I'm pretty sure that doesn't really qualify as a football score anymore. It feels like a whole nother thing. I mean, you could get that in football, but that's like,
yeah,
that's just too lopsided.
I need a 2-point conversion somewhere in there.
Yeah. So I want to spend now a little bit of time. So Kyle, you've done a really good job of compiling a bunch of different stats. I want to talk a little bit about the home run leaders in the country, because there's a really, really tight race at the top. There's no one really running away with it right now. Jake Geloff and Ivan Melendez are both at 13 right now. So Jake Geloff out of Virginia, Ivan Melendez out of Texas. Ivan Melendez had I know he started the weekend against Texas Tech 8-for-8. I'm not sure how he finished, but he and Staley, the 3 and 4 hitters, in that loss on Saturday were combined 10-for-10 with like four home runs or something, and Texas still lost that game. It goes to show you that bullpens letting you down can't save you, even when you have Ivan Melendez, the Hispanic Titanic, in the middle of your lineup.
Yeah, and then right behind them in the home run race is, of course, Tommy Tanks.
He was cold for a little bit, but he's got his bat warmed back up, and he's at Ivan Melendez and Geloff are both at 13. Tommy Tanks is at 12.
Dakota Katowski is the other one from Missouri State, tied at 12. I think there's another one tied at, or like a bunch tied at 11.
A bunch at 11, and there's also a bunch at 10. Jake Geloff, though, I think has to be in the conversation right now with a lot of the other guys, really, as early contenders for the Golden Spikes. Jake Geloff's weighted on base average is 650, and his regular batting average is 439, and 439 plus 13 home runs. When you're playing for a team that's 22-2 in the country that has national visibility, that's a pretty good recipe for being in that conversation.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think so. Woba maybe might have to be lowered in scale for college a little bit. This is using last year's weights, so 650 might seem insane if you're comparing it to MLB, but it's comparing it to other college people, like other college players. It is still really good, but I don't know if it's possible to compare it to MLB. So if you're keeping track at home, don't compare this to MLB. But still, 650, a 650 WOBA and a 439 batting average is absolutely insane. He's got 10 doubles. He's among the nation's leader in doubles. Just insane. And there's another person hitting even better than him compared in WOBA. AJ Archambeau from Oral Roberts. He's got half the number of games played, so it may be a little bit of a sample size thing there, but it's still pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's a stat that I think is fascinating. Jake Geloff has obviously found a way to do pretty darn well with it, but same with AJ Archambeau. All right, Kyle. So I'm feeling the need for some redemption from what happened with last week's pick'em. So any other interesting things that happened over this past week that you want to touch base on before we move on to this week's pick'em?
No, I can't think of anything else.
Oh, did you want to touch on, I wanted to touch on this. Oh, I think the bullpen woes of Alabama are something that I'm really curious to see how it plays out. So Alabama traveled to Mississippi State in a series that I think was really essential for Mississippi State to win. Mississippi State scored two in the bottom of the ninth and one in the 10th to win that Friday game, walking off Alabama. And then on Saturday, one in the 8th, four in the 9th to walk off Alabama. So on paper, Mississippi State won that series 2-1. In looking into the box score, that series was really Alabama's for the having, if not for the sweeping. Mississippi State will take what they can get for sure.
Yeah. And even worse is that on the Saturday game, Bama came back. Let's see, it would have been 4-3 going into the 8th. So then Mississippi State would have tied it going to the 9th. Bama then scored 3 runs in the top of the 9th. And so then to win, State had to, I think it was a walk-off grand slam, right?
Yeah, this was the
Saturday.
Walk-off home run on Friday was.
Oh, okay. So there were just other runs, I think. But yes, 4 runs in the bottom of the 9th to walk off. So that goes along with Oregon State Saturday game. It was 7-1 going into the top of the 9th for Cal over Oregon State. Oregon State went on to score 6 runs in the top of the 9th to tie it. Oof. And the Oregon State fans are probably like, yeah, all right, we came back. We can let's take this to extras and we can go. And then Cal scored a run in the bottom of the 9th to walk him off. So that kind of sucks if you're kind of heartbreaking, I guess.
College baseball is cruel. I feel like college bullpens are always interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a cruel sport, scoring 6 in the top of a frame and then getting walked off. But that walk-off bomb from Mississippi State was on Friday night. It was the Jaeger bomb call.
Jaeger bomb. Oh, right.
Quite the call.
Yeah,
I highly recommend checking it out on our website in the SEC Weekly Roundup or on Twitter. Excellent call by the Mississippi State.
I highly recommend not doing Jaeger bombs.
Only when their balls hit over fences.
Right. Yeah, unless your last name is Jaeger.
And then one last thing to touch base on before we move on. I feel like it's worth mentioning that there's a few mid-majors that did crack into our top 50. Charleston, I think, is probably the most interesting one of those. They swept Northeastern, who themselves swept NC State. And Charleston now moves to 3-0 in Colonial play. That was their first Colonial series. They've also won a series against East Carolina. So Charleston is actually College of Charleston is a team that is one of those mid-majors that you should have on your radar because they're not going to be a team you want to see in your regional. All right, I'm satisfied. Are you ready to do this next week's pick'em?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so at this point you have an 8-point lead on me. So the pressure is mounting, and unfortunately you have the advantage and you get to give me the series first. So give me your best shot. I'm only picking winners.
Okay. Well, you had already spoken for one, and I can honor that dibs. I'll let you have that one. But I want you to pick NC State traveling to Clemson. This is a rivalry in the football series. I'm assuming it's similar rivalry in this series. I think it's the Textile Bowl. I don't know if it has the same name for this, but yeah, let's see what you got.
I don't like this. I think that we just talked about how NC State has been not the most consistent team. I feel like Clemson's right in there. I mean, they just got. It was a 2-game sweep, I think. They had a game canceled against Pitt, but they just lost a little 2-game series to Pitt. When you start crunching the numbers on them and comparing them based off of offense, defense, on paper, they're actually both pretty similar.
Yeah.
My instinct is to go with the home team because that seems like a safe bet, but I'm going to go with the momentum play here. and say that NC State riding that winning weekend wins the series, Clemson coming off a losing weekend, the woes continue for them. Give me the Wolfpack.
All right.
I'm putting this one at 1 point. I am not remotely confident in this series.
That is safe. I like that.
All right.
Your turn.
I want to give you, I did have dibs. If you feel like you want to go back on that and you want to use it, don't feel like you have to respect those dibs, because I want to give you a different series first. One that I think is going to be really important for both teams, Ole Miss at Kentucky. So, and we just talked about how you can't get swept, and Ole Miss just got swept in the SEC. Kentucky, on the other hand, has a couple of good home series wins. They won a series against TCU at home. They just knocked off Georgia at home. I am not really convinced that Kentucky is for real yet, but maybe you are.
No, yeah, I'm still a believer in Ole Miss. I think they just got roughed up a little bit this weekend. Like, I don't know, they did like a bullpen saving move by letting one guy eat up a bunch of innings and took a bunch of runs on, I think that was Friday night, which I don't know, probably should have helped them get one of those games Saturday and Sunday, but didn't. I'm
good
still
idea believing in theory. Ole Miss.
Yeah, it didn't work out in practice. Give me Ole Miss on the road. I'll give this 2 points because Kentucky could come out and surprise, but I think there is a gap. I think Kentucky's on that like second tier of SEC teams.
Kind of third tier maybe. Kentucky has a staff ERA over 5, is really bottom of the barrel when it comes to walks and extra base hits. That surprises me. For their record in the series wins that they have, I'm surprised that they can get away with that.
Yeah.
Like the pitching staff might end up getting exposed this week.
It helps that they strike out the 10th most. So yeah. I guess the 10th most batters. So that is kind of nice.
Yeah.
All right. My turn to give you series. I'll give you a tough one here. Maybe it's not too tough. I don't know. Tennessee at Vanderbilt. I think it's going to be interesting seeing if Tennessee can ride that momentum going into Nashville this week. Also, what scheduling person did the Tennessee piss off to get this?
Yeah, no favors done by the SEC office. Oh, man. I'm just start off with, I'm with this at 2 points because also I don't feel super confident in this.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's 2 points.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking through this, I mean, what do you want from a team to be successful on the road? I mean, you want documented proof that they've been successful on the road, and I think you want a pretty good pitching staff. I think that
Tennessee's got both of those.
Yeah, Tennessee has both of those. I mean, it's safe to say Vanderbilt won't underestimate Tennessee. Vanderbilt's coming off a series loss of their own at South Carolina. With all this said, I think my number one prediction is that both staffs end up with higher ERAs after the weekend than they did coming into it. But I think Tennessee wins this one. Because they are number one in the country in batting average, and their pitching staff is number one in the country in earned run average. I mean, that is wild at this point in the season to be number one in both those stats.
Yeah, like they've also, I think they've played a few SEC series too. Like, that's crazy.
Yep. Yep. So give me the Vols.
I think that's fair to ride the number one team that we have ranked. Yeah, your turn. You can do your dibs one if you'd like.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is a fun series because it's you have to start thinking about who's going to make it to Hoover at the end of the year. So not all the SEC teams make it to Hoover, and getting to Hoover is an accomplishment, but it's also important for those teams to maybe get towards the bottom to give them themselves a fighting chance to sneak into the SEC tournament or NCAA tournament. So Texas A&M and Alabama play each other this weekend. The Aggies lost a series to Auburn. Bama, we documented, lost a series to Mississippi State. neither of them are the steadiest of teams.
Nope. in terms of bullpen, I think is what you're going at, getting at there.
Yeah, it seems like they both have had some good pitching performances, but not enough. Not enough to get through a weekend, especially in the SEC.
Yeah, and I went through A&M's schedule like in my pre-podcast studying, and I think this is the middle of the easiest stretch of series for A&M. Hosting Auburn and then going to Bama and then hosting Kentucky is as easy as it gets in the SEC. It's probably not a good sign that they lost the series to Auburn, but they also went on the road and beat LSU. So I think for A&M going 3-3 in those two series is about as good as you can expect. They did it in the opposite way that I would have thought.
Yeah, that is such a weird thing. If you told Aggie fans are going to go 3-3, people would be like, yeah, it's pretty reasonable. So like there could be in a worse position, but man,
right.
With two extra inning games against Auburn, it feels like, you know, that series could have gone the Aggies' way.
They were A&M was a strike away on Friday night from winning that opening game and going for the sweep on Sunday, which they ended up losing. But yeah, the bullpen kind of blew up on them Friday and a little bit Saturday too, but also Sunday a lot. Alabama also, we already kind of touched on their bullpen. They've lost two series in a row, but to Florida and then the reigning national champs, who are reeling a little bit. So I don't know. I think this is kind of a slump in the difficulty of schedule for Bama because they have at Ole Miss after that. So I think.
So what you're saying is that both of these teams are desperate to win the series.
Basically. Yeah, I think yeah. So I'm going to go ahead. I think we've touched on it too much. I'm going to go ahead and give it to Bama.
All right.
And I'll do 3 points just because A&M's bullpen is not good. That is the only reason.
Should that just be the title of this episode?
A&M's bullpen is not good.
All right.
You can pick. Let's go ahead and give you Iowa at Michigan.
I was just about to give you that one.
Really?
I
didn't want to pick that.
That was going to be my next one. Yeah, this is an intriguing matchup. I'm honestly convinced that Iowa might turn out to be pretty solid this year. The staff has put in a very respectable 3.57 ERA. And I think that they're trending in the direction that you kind of want that Midwest team to trend. Michigan's staff ERA, meanwhile, is almost at 6. And like, I know that it's ERA is supposed, you know, supposed to be earned run, but Michigan's defense has kind of struggled on the year. So like, I'm sure the Michigan's pitchers have been just taxed a little bit more, and maybe some of that earned run or some of those earned runs are related to some poor defense, but giving up a whole bunch of walks, both of these stats really are.
I think that what you're going for there was they give up a lot of plays unmade. It's not an error in the stat, but
yeah, exactly.
Plum that's, is what they called.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it would be interesting to see like what fielding independent
pitching. We have that as a stat. Well, maybe we don't, but someone does.
All right. Well, next week
I'll work on it.
We'll only talk about FIP. I'm going to take Iowa in this series. Ooh. We just had Iowa crack into our spicy. Top 50. Michigan was in the conversation as well. This feels like this series feels more important for Michigan than it does for Iowa, but I don't know if the Wolverines get it done. So give me Iowa and let's put it at 3.
All right,
now I'm all out of sorts. My whole plan is ruined. But I'm gonna give you a big time Conference USA series. It's Louisiana Tech at Southern Miss. I think that this is one of the marquee series of the entire weekend, and whoever comes out of this, I'm not going to say it's guaranteed to be in the top 25, but when you're 29-30, and if you win a series like this, like you get a pretty good shot at breaking into the top 25 after something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tricky because, I mean, you really liked La Tech coming into the year.
We did.
And they're 5-1 in conference play, but
And there's still a lot to like about them. I mean,
yeah, both, there is.
Like, I think the ceiling for this Louisiana Tech team is still pretty high. I think that some of the concerns that you might have had would be about kind of the how much improvement can you get really on the pitching staff would have been my biggest concern. And I think they've demonstrated that they can pitch pretty well and definitely well enough to be competitive in Conference USA. Like, I think they're going to, I think these are the 1-2 teams in Conference USA, and the series might go a decent ways in deciding who ends up ultimately winning.
Yeah, I agree. Oof. It's also interesting because La Tech gets Dallas Baptist at home in the midweek, which, God, I mean, Dallas Baptist just knows how to schedule to get high RPI. They are currently RPI number one. Uh-huh. They're in the fourth highest RPI conference, which is pretty much just buoyed by them. I don't really know what's going on there, but I guess Missouri Valley knows how to schedule.
Speaking of Dallas Baptist, they did sweep Southern Miss earlier. So
yeah,
I know. Not like they're just scheduling well. They're also actually winning some games too.
Yeah, that helps a lot. It also helps that they're scheduling teams that are good.
Yeah.
Oof. Where is that on the schedule? It's at Southern Miss. Go ahead and give me Southern Miss. This is a pitching staff that has a 3.15 ERA, which is good for 10th in the country. And they're at home, and I like this Southern Miss team to maybe bounce back a little bit. I mean, I know they just swept a team, but they just swept Western Kentucky on the road. So, yeah, I don't know. They're playing well right now. Go ahead and give me Southern Miss for 1 point.
Not feeling great about this series.
I'm not, no. But I have an 8-point lead, so I can have that little cushion.
Oh, yeah. You did get 1 point last week for Purdue beating Ohio State in a single game, which I think I think is the right thing to do because those other two games were canceled and they technically won the series 1-0. But if I lose by 1 point at the end of the year, which I'm not on pace for that, I'm definitely going to complain about it.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I had said that I could take another 1-pointer this week, but we'll see.
Honestly, it comes down to it's more of a headache redoing the graphic than it's worth the point. And that was my thought. So I was like, I don't want to have to like do the little small boxes and stuff. So
if you were down only 1 point, maybe it would be. But
honestly, yes. If it was the last week of the season and that was, I wouldn't. That's where I'm at.
All right, your turn to pick. We haven't done a Big 12 one. No, I don't want to do that one.
I know the Big 12. I think there's a couple of interesting series, but
yeah, like the West Virginia TCU and Texas at Oklahoma. Like that's a rivalry one, Texas at OU. But like I think Texas is gonna probably sweep that series. But you can go ahead and pick Liberty at Jacksonville.
Oh yeah, Liberty. Liberty, unfortunately, is kind of a team that's been slipping down the rankings a little bit. They lost a series this past weekend to Stetson at home. There's still a lot of things to like, I think, about this Liberty team. I don't anticipate them continuing on a downward trajectory. So my gut is to go with Liberty on this one. I think I'm also maybe a little bit skeptical of Jacksonville. They got swept themselves by Kennesaw State, which we did talk about. Kennesaw State has a player that had two cycles in 1 week, so Kennesaw State's offense gotta be at least pretty good. But give me the Liberty Flames.
Yeah,
in this one, bouncing back and taking this series, and it's my 4-pointer, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a good pick. Liberty just had like their starters got roughed up a little bit, had some bad outings Friday and Saturday. Saturday and Sunday. Those are the two games they lost. They kind of got knocked out in the second and the fourth, I think. So yeah, that's a good pick. Maybe they'll bounce back. You said Liberty for 4 points, right?
Fun fact, right. Both of these teams have exactly one triple on the year.
Oh.
Puts them tied for second to last, basically.
Tied with everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Man, Kyle, these stats are so much fun to look at.
I know.
I really enjoy it.
And I learned a thing about R, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah. All right, so I have one more series to give you. And I think there's, I feel like in terms of tricky series, the ACC is probably more likely to get some of those tricky series. I'm also taking a peek at that West Coast Conference series, San Diego at San Francisco. Right now, for what it's worth, in the RPI, I think both Gonzaga and San Diego are top 10. And we have both Gonzaga and San Diego in our top 50 right now. It's not super common. I mean, I don't know the last time West Coast Conference was a multi-bid league, but it really feels like if it's gonna happen, this should be the year. So I've talked myself into it. I think I'm gonna give you the San Diego at San Francisco series. And I know you were probably thinking that I was gonna do Notre Dame at Florida State.
I was, yeah.
Because that's I think that's a really good series too. But let's give some love to
West Coast love.
Yeah, some West Coast. Yeah. We got a little bit of an East Coast flavor, maybe.
Well, that's where the good teams are.
Whoa. Wow. way to isolate like 1% of our audience.
When we can have multiple West Coast teams in Omaha, then yeah. But that's a whole scheduling thing that RPI messes with them, so I get it.
What's considered a West Coast team? Like Arizona and Stanford were in Omaha last year.
Oh, that's true. Well, because of my argument, Arizona is not considered a West Coast team.
Okay. And Stanford, I don't know. Yeah, I would have to look back. But all right.
Whatever. Consistently. Consistently multiple teams. How about that? I think this is a really good San Diego team that has a chance at getting that at-large bid from the West Coast if they don't win the conference. Because I think this is a tournament bid. Yeah, I think this is a tournament automatic bid. They have a pretty good middle of the pack ERA, but it's better than San Francisco's. And their offense is pretty solid, top, like kind of in the hundreds, like low single hundreds, I guess. I don't know how I'm trying to say.
Does it sway you at all that San Francisco just won a series at Portland, who was up until then 15-5 on the year?
Not really.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because San Diego, I mean, it is interesting and it's good for San Francisco, but San Diego took 3 out of 4 from Oregon, who was kind of a darling kind of to start the year, I think. San Diego also lost series to Dallas Baptist, won a series at Grand Canyon. So like they scheduled well, done a lot of traveling. I think that's helps they scheduled well and a lot of them have been on the road. So I think they're kind of buoying Dallas Baptist's number one RPI. So
yeah,
let's go ahead and give me San Diego. And I think that's my 4-pointer.
Yeah. Kind of.
I think I would do 4-pointer if I didn't have 4 points remaining on that one, but yeah.
San Francisco is playing 2 midweek games at Oregon this week, so that's a packed week for San Francisco.
Yeah, that also helps to buoy my argument because maybe the bullpen will be tired. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a wrap on the pick'em. You have from 4 points down to 1: San Diego, Alabama, Ole Miss, Southern Miss. And I have Liberty, Iowa, Tennessee, and NC State. I feel pretty good about my lineup.
Mine is
you made me do it, heavy. Didn't you? I picked all away teams.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
I finally learned.
All right.
But mine's kind of Mississippi heavy, I guess, or South heavy.
Well, if anything, that will pull in 50% of our audience because half of our listeners
absolutely are in the state of Mississippi.
That is always something that surprises me is how passionate Mississippians are about college baseball.
I mean, when they have 3 teams that are really good, that's what you do.
Agreed. All right. Well, Kyle, thanks for joining me. It was great as always chatting college baseball. I wish you no luck at all this week in the pick'em because I need to make some ground up on you.
You hear that, Ole Miss fans? He's playing against you.
I picked them last week and see what they did for me.
Right.
Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you enjoyed, give us a rating. It helps us get the word out. Head over to our website, collegebaseball.info, for all of our coverage, as well as our social media, which is at College Ball Nat. Thanks for listening and have a great week.